Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
If you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to preface what we're getting ready to do with this. I want to also bring your attention back to a couple of weeks ago. How many recognized a couple of weeks ago at the end of service? How many know, remember when we were praying and worshiping in tongues? Remember that at the end of service? Yeah. Is anybody here?
Yeah.
Do you remember what came after that? It was a tongues interpretation. The Spirit of God told us something. Did you catch it?
No. Thank you for being honest.
Well, I'll read it to you. And it goes into what we're gonna do today. He said this. He said, "If you're willing to fly with me, I'll show you places you've never been. I'll take you to places and experiences with me that you've never known were possible. I'll take you into avenues of your life that you never dreamed could come to pass. But this is the way it's always been. This is the way it's always been created to be. This is always the way it's been for you. I see your end from the beginning. I've been trying to move you into that your whole entire life. All of those things that were ever spoken over you were contrary. You'll understand when you sit with me that that's the way it is. That's not the way it is at all. Let me set you free. Let me open your eyes to see what I see." Now that I've read that, I can go to 1 Corinthians. You know, sometimes we get in positions where, you know, we are asked, you know, what's the big thing about Christianity? And we've let everybody else answer that question. But when it boils down to it, Jesus did what he did to rejoin the presence of God with the presence of man. Everybody say that. Jesus did what he did to rejoin the presence of God with the presence of man. Period. That's it. So, what Christianity is all about is you as a human being learning how to shift from being led out of your own intellect and your own emotions to getting your direction, getting your operating system, so to speak, from out of your spirit, not out of your soul. Not that it doesn't go through your soul, but it doesn't start with your soul. That's it. That is the reason Jesus did what he did. Because before that, man was flying blind. Man was groping around in the dark, trying to find his way to God, as Acts 17 says it. Jesus took care of that issue. We've made it everything else. So because we've made it everything else, we've never understood. Folks, look, listen, I was raised in church my whole entire life, and not one single time did I ever have a class on how to be led by your spirit. Ever. Because most of what man knows comes straight out of his head. And we've made a version of Christianity that's been simply formulated out of somebody's mind and thought process, and not realize that our number one responsibility from the time you declared Jesus as Lord. Look, you only knew Jesus as Lord because he showed it to you in your spirit. Why in the world would he move you out of that place and stick you back in your own head? So how many know it's good for us to practice developing in learning how to get direction out of our spirit? I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to get into a lot of it right now. I'll do it afterwards. But just understand this. 1 Corinthians has been made to be about everything under the sun except what he's talking about. The first four chapters, he's dealing with the very core issue of why the Corinthian church was having the problems it was having. And it was simply boiled down to, you as human beings never shifted from being led out of your soul and your emotions and your mind into plugging into your spirit and learn how to live that way. That's the reason why you're having issues. So what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to have a little bit of time, and I don't care what you do in life. You may say, I have no gifts, I have no abilities, I've got nothing. But you probably have a job, you probably meet people. If you have a pulse, then you still have the opportunity to practice being directed out of your spirit. And that's true. The reality is you probably do have gifts, but you've never allowed yourself to be moved over into those because your mind was calling the shots. So I would just say this, let's just relax this morning in the presence of the Lord. If you're in your seats and you're not up here, you can still worship Him, you can still praise Him, and you can still plug into your spirit and pay attention with your mind, what's going on in your spirit. What impressions are you getting? Maybe you're getting, you know, what we saw a couple of weeks ago with the tongues and interpretation tongues. You know, quite honestly, when I got done speaking in tongues, I just had impressions. I was simply declaring what I was impressed in my spirit. We've made this thing so complicated that we think, well, it must not work with me because I'm not getting it. But it's not that complicated. But understand, as a new creation, you only have one responsibility, and that is to learn how to make the shift from living out of your soul to living out of your spirit. It doesn't happen overnight. But it will happen if you'll practice. If you've been on the job and you can't remember something, I don't know how many times I've had the Spirit of God. I'm missing a piece of information that I should know. And I said, Lord, what was the name of that again? Or just the other day, it was like there was a file I was supposed to be accessing, and I couldn't remember the name of the person. Lord, what was the name of that person again? And I just stopped and waited. And it came. He wants to be that interactive. We just don't give Him the chance because we're too head driven. You can be the greatest intellect in the world, and you'll be a greater intellect if you'll allow your intellect to pick up what's going on in your spirit. He'll show you things that nobody else on the planet knows. We ought to be the greatest in every field and every gifting that we have. We ought to be the greatest in those areas because we're getting our direction from the one who knows everything, not just from something somebody taught you. So with this morning, we're just gonna enjoy His presence a little bit. We're just gonna see what the Lord will do this morning. Whether it's on the canvas or in the music, we're just gonna enjoy His presence. Because this is what it's like to live spontaneously. Amen. Amen.
Peter 1:19 says, "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. The Message says it like this. We couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. The Dawn, a poem. It's time! It's time! The angels shout. The ones assigned begin to congregate. Each one selected, color in their wings, begin to form the ancient line assigned since ancient time. A hush descends as angels wait for conductor to begin. Suddenly, his words come forth. Orange, magenta, pink, blue. Each word comes forth as angels fly and strokes the sky, their color then unfurls. In long streaks and arches, swirls and lines, their contrails mark the sky. As prophetic word comes, the sun begins its rise to light the streaks, arches, and swirls and push the dark away. Purple, gray, red, gold. The angels fly quickly now. The sun arises to color dawn, making way for morning star to rise. Arise, O sleeper, dawn speaks. Time to begin. Give ear to prophetic word. Rise and use the day to praise the one who gives each dawn a gift of hope and joy, color and life. The angels line up for the finale. As conductor finishes, a blast of color and light. The sun is up completely now. A new day begins. Arise, O sleeper, day is here. Pay attention, the lamp is shining. The dark places push back, and the word that began the day has no end. It's time! It's time, the angels shout. The ones assigned begin to congregate. Each one selected, color in their wings. They begin to form the line assigned since ancient times. A hush descends as angels wait for conductor to begin. Suddenly, his words come forth. Orange! Magenta, pink, blue. Each word comes forth, an angel flies and strokes the sky. Their color then unfurls in long streaks, arches, swirls, and lines. Their contrails mark the sky. As prophetic word comes, the sun begins its rise to light the streaks and arches and swirls and push the dark away. Purple, gray, red, gold, the angels fly. Quicker now, the sun arises to color dawn, making way for morning star to rise. Arise, O sleeper, dawn speaks. Time to begin. Give ear to prophetic word. Rise and use the day to praise the one who gives each dawn a gift of hope and joy, color and life. The angels line up for the finale. As conductor finishes, a blast of color and light. The sun is up completely now. A new day begins. Arise, O sleeper, day is here. Pay attention. The lamp is shining, the dark places push back, and the word that began the day has no end.
Praise the name of the Lord. So, everything that you just saw, whether it was, and heard, whether it was the music, whether it was what's going on the canvas, that's pretty amazing. That all came out of their spirit. They may have heard it in their mind, in their soul, before it came out here, but or they may have saw it. I mean, with me, I see things, you know, we call it the mind's eye. Your mind is a big screen, and your spirit is a projector. You know, for me, that's kind of how it works with me. I see things. And it could work a little bit different for everybody, but the thing about it is you have to get in and practice to see how it works for you. And this is the way the Spirit of God directs us and leads us. This is the way He's going to take you from where you are right now to where He's trying to get you, or He's always seen you from eternity past. So many folks never fulfill their life, dreams, desires, and assignments because they're never willing to move from where they are right now, because they're so locked in their heads. You know, we often talk about the blessing of the Lord and the blessing of Abraham, but you have to understand that the blessing of Abraham, yes, it is ours, but the way He's going to move you from not being there to experiencing 100% is to whatever degree that you're willing to practice and develop in being led out of your spirit. There's no mystery as to how it comes to pass. So I could go two different directions this morning. Let's start with one of the directions I had, and that was this. The last few weeks we have, as a part of authentic community, and believe me, folks, it is a part of authentic community, because as we've seen in previous weeks, there is no authentic community if we don't develop in our ability as community to live free from your own emotions, live free from your own thought processes, and you know, all the other junk that would go on in that area that would cause division, cause strife, cause hurt, cause whatever. So the last couple of weeks we have talked on the thing that the New Testament talks about, speaking in tongues. And so what I wanted to do right now is just kind of open it up for questions. And, you know, I'll try to answer the questions the best I can. And if there's ever any questions you've had in this area, maybe you haven't given yourself completely over to the Spirit of God and had allowed Him to develop speaking out of your spirit, praying out of your spirit. Maybe that's because there's some questions you have. You know, I take it for granted that everybody in here has developed in these areas. And if you haven't, that's fine too. But you may have questions about this that maybe no one's been able to answer. I'll lay on the Spirit of God and see if we can do it this morning. So let's just open it up and see, you know, if you have any questions. You might have a question somebody else has, but if you don't ask it, they won't. You know what? Let's do this. Who's got the microphone? Let's pass that around so we can get it on the recording, too.
What do you do if your prayer language is limited? Like, just have a few syllables. How do you get past that to more?
Best way to get past it is just use it. It's just like with little children. I mean, little babies, they don't come out speaking the dictionary. They only know, you know, I have a friend who... unfortunately for her, the first things that learned was the word dada. They just learn, you know, even in our natural language, we learn certain things. But the more they use, the more they'll develop. So it's the same thing in our prayer language, just speaking out of our spirit. Listen, our natural tongue is not used to speaking whatever it is that's coming out of your spirit. It's just not used to that. So, you know, I forget how it was for me, but I had extremely limited. But the more I purposed to develop and pray in tongues and pray out of my spirit, over the years it's developed into, you know, it's developed really into a full language. And I will say this too, that, and this is kind of another subject, but the more you utilize it, there'll come times where, you know, sometimes you're just simply praying out of your spirit, and other times you're praying out of your spirit, but it's like there's a fire hose, and there's an urgency, and there's almost I don't want to use the word frantic, but it's a lot more intense than other times. That may be because there's certain things you're praying about that are urgent. It may be because of a number of different things, but to answer your question, is the best way to develop that is to use it. Just use it and use it and use it. And you know, if your mind is like, well, why am I doing this? I'm only saying three syllables. And do you have any idea what's behind those three syllables? You could be making, you know, it doesn't take much in the realm of the spirit to shift things. So we ought not think that volume equals power. I don't mean sound, I mean like quantity. It doesn't take much in the realm of the spirit to shift things. It can be just one word, but just you have to step out in these areas with some expectation and with some confidence, and understand that the Spirit of God is going to help you train your natural tongue to formulate and articulate the language that you are is coming out of your spirit. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Anybody else?
How do you differentiate between what's coming out of your spirit and what may be coming out of your head that supposedly sounds right, quote unquote? And how much does that matter?
You mean as far as speaking in tongues?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Your spirit is, you're generating what you're getting, whether you're familiar with it. Because I think what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what you're talking about is when you come to a place where you've made it a life habit of speaking in tongues, but your mind is so familiar with what you're saying that it's like, well, I've heard this before. So is this my head coming up with this, or is that? I don't think you need to be concerned about that. The fact is, your spirit is what's generating your language. Whether your mind is familiar with it or not doesn't matter. What your mind needs to pay attention to is impressions that you get while you're doing it. Paul said, I pray in my spirit. He said, I've come to this place where I understand this. 1 Corinthians 14. He said, I pray with my spirit, and then I pray with my understanding also. If we're worshiping, we worship with our spirit, and we worship with our understanding also. And the idea is, and in Ephesians 6:18, he said it like this. He said, pray in the spirit always, paying attention thereunto. That's probably King James or whatever. So what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about how your soul and your spirit work together. You know, he told us up front in 1 Corinthians that when you're praying out of your spirit, your mind is going to be unproductive. In other words, it's not coming from your mind. But your mind can pick up on impressions and things. This is why it's important to understand how the Spirit of God leads us. He leads us by, you know, when in Romans, when it talked about, and I realize I'm going way beyond your question here, but in Romans 8, it talks about that the Spirit of God is the one that bears witness with your spirit. Well, that's not just in that content topic they're talking about in Romans. That's an overall principle. This is how he is. So when you're praying out of your spirit, pay attention to that which is being borne witness, and, you know, being the impressions you're getting first and foremost, because that's the number one way he leads. Anything above that, whether it's audible voices or, you know, actual sentences or phrases, that's other levels. But the very number one way he'll lead is impressions. I'll give you a case in point. I was putting together a legal document the other day, and I needed an attorney's signature on it. And the attorney I usually work with was out of the country. And so I put another individual's name on the legal documents. And as soon as I did it, the Spirit of God said, he's not here today. I hadn't even been over to that part of the building. Well, I went ahead and put it on there anyway, and I walked it over there. And as soon as I got over there, somebody confirmed to me that what I heard in my seat was exactly what was right. He's not here today. So I had to walk all the way back over to my office, throw it in the shred, and redo it. So, but it was just an impression. It wasn't like, you know, any long sentences. So, yeah, I would just encourage you. And along those lines, I mean, people have this incessant debate in their head. Well, is this me or is this God or is this him? Stop. Just stop. Your Bible, your New Testament, the Spirit of God that wrote that New Testament said, and I believe it's in Romans also, that you are one spirit with him, right? So don't get in this incessant triangulation. Was that me or was that? Just go with it and find out. So many things we never even walk out, so we never give him the chance to confirm, yes, it was. So if you're one spirit with him, and he told you you're one spirit with him, if you're going to speak in tongues and pray in tongues, I don't care whether your mind knows what you're saying or not, as far as I've heard these words before, you just keep going with it, and then you train your mind to pick up on impressions that you're getting or anything else that comes from that. Pray in the Spirit always, watching thereunto. To watch, keep an eye on what's going on in your spirit. Does that make sense? Anybody else?
Now, you may have already answered this, but when it talks about tongues, it says that you're edifying yourself. So how will I know, or is there a way that after I'm done speaking in tongues that I've been edified, or is there a way to tell or receive what I was speaking from? Is it okay to think that God would give me some type of an answer or an understanding to that?
Yeah, that's a multi-tiered question. That's okay, though. As far as how do you know if you're being built up, well, you already experienced, you're experiencing that as you're doing it. If how many of, well, let me ask you this. How many, as a routine practice of your life, you pray out of your spirit? Okay, when you pray out of your spirit, what are you, if I can use, for lack of a better word, what are you feeling? But do you feel, if you do it long enough, do you start feeling built up? You start feeling there's more joy flowing? You start.
I was just saying that sometimes I feel a release. Even sometimes it's that the heaviness will leave. And it's not that I was upset per se or that I was speaking in tongues to go to war for myself.
Sure.
Just sometimes I'm praying in tongues and it may get intense. And then I feel a release, and I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know what that was, but whatever it was, it's done.
Yeah. Let's just say in general, though, let's say in situations where really there's nothing really that's wrong. You just, you know, because we don't want to get into this life habit of I only pray in tongues when things are wrong. Just as a matter of practice, because this is who you are, in spirit with him. You know, we want to see what he sees and hear what he hears, so we ought to be doing this all the time. As a matter of practice, when it comes to being built up, right, on a basic level, your feelings, if I can use them that way, you're going to come to the place where you know you're built up because there's joy flowing. It's like, man, this is amazing. You can't get this out of your own head. You know, so on that level, that's what you'll notice. On another level, say you are in a situation where you're praying for something that's serious or whatever, you're going to pick up on, you know, I just prayed until I had a release. That's a good word. You know, or it's one of those impressions. I just had an impression. I can stop now. It's good.
Also, if we believe what we're saying, that praying in tongues is our heavenly language, then a lot of times I've just said, Lord, I just thank you that whatever I'm praying out, I take part in, and I just thank you that that comes to pass in my life. Because sometimes I don't know what I'm praying, and other times I've been praying in the Spirit, and English words start coming to my head, and I believe, or it seems like to my head, and I realize I'm actually getting an interpretation of what I'm praying out in my spirit.
Yeah. Regarding should we pursue understanding of what we're saying? Well, Paul said this in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm going to read out of the NASB. And again, he was speaking in the arena of the corporate setting where there's multiple folks around. He said this, since you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. That means in a corporate setting. But he also went on to say this, therefore let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Well, that verse right there should tell you we have he's given us the open door to ask him to give us what we're speaking. I know individuals that when they learned this truth, they just simply went to town on it and said, Lord, I want you to show me what I'm saying. And one particular individual, I know he developed in it first, and then he went to his wife and said, hey, you need to develop in this. And he helped her develop in it too. See, if we have been raised on the premise that God has things that he knows and you're never going to know those things and it's not your right to, don't even ask, then you've been raised on the wrong foundation, because that absolutely just isn't Bible. 1 Corinthians, the first three or four chapters, chapter 3, Paul said that the very reason why he's given you his spirit is so that you would know. Everybody say that, so that I would know. Not that I might know, but that I would know. It's only the gods of religion that are holding things back from you. If you go and look at any of those, there's so much arrogance surrounding them that they basically have this thought process in the minds of men that I know what I know, you know what you know, and neither the two will meet. And some kind of way, and let's just chalk it up to it's just natural human process. From living so many centuries and centuries and centuries being separated from God, that you just kind of come to conclusions on your own, so you stop trying. Because it's a lot easier to come up with your own thought processes and your own ideologies than to hurt, right? We do the same thing in Christianity. If we don't have an answer for something, we make one up so that we don't hurt. But Paul simply said this, that let's see if I can find it here. I just go back and I just teach you all 1 Corinthians 1, 2, 3, 4 again. Because it's just, there's so much in there, it's just amazing. But he said that it is Father's will that you know everything that he knows, and he wants you to ask. Doesn't James say, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to him liberally? Well, anything coming out of heaven is wisdom, right? What you're praying out of your spirit is wisdom. What he called it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. So we very much have a right, it's an open door. He's not holding back. Maybe it's just our own thought processes, because we don't even realize that we have these pockets of thought process that we think, with me, that's really none of my business. So we don't ask. It's really kind of amazing. For all the words we say we know, some of the most important stuff we completely disregard. All because we don't realize we have pockets of religious thought process that are steering us away from those areas instead of us running to those areas and putting some pressure on what we've learned and let God prove it so. Let me see if I can find this for you. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, let me ask you a question. Let's just strip all the religious garbage off of that. What's that supposed to look like? If the Holy Spirit is telling you that he lives inside of you, did he like lose his voice when he moved into you? Because I got a whole book of where he did a lot of talking. But did he lose his voice when he moved inside of you? Of course not. Did he lose what he knows just because he moved inside of you? No. Does he still know? Is he still that person of wisdom that's speaking in Proverbs and saying, when God created the earth and created the boundaries of the seas and all these, and I was there? Is it still that same person? Yes. He didn't lose anything. You don't have a dumbed down version of the Holy Spirit just because they live in you. He wants to show you things. He wants to bring you into understanding of things. And frankly, if we would do more asking and believing, and Father, I just receive what I just said. I don't know what I said, but I just receive what I just said in the name of the Lord. The wisdom of that could come to you in days following if it doesn't come right then. So never turn off your switch of expectation. Frankly, I've had things that I've asked the Lord that I didn't get an answer to and get insight from him for a while, but I got it. So always know this, at the least, when you pray out of your spirit, you can say, Father, if you're praying for somebody else, be watching for impressions to pray out in English. Paul said, I pray in my spirit and I pray in my understanding. But also, if you're praying for you, if you're just praying out of your spirit to build you up, because that's its most basic level, then you can at least do this. Father, I thank you that you give me the understanding of this. and expect it. If it doesn't, expect it to come. If it doesn't come right then, if you're not getting those impressions as you're speaking, then don't back off of your expectation. Just simply say, Father, I just thank you that you give me the understanding of these things. It could be about circumstances. You could have circumstances on your mind and you start praying out of your spirit. The word says he calls those things to be not as though they were. What do you think you're doing when you pray out of your spirit? Did you hear what I just said? If we heard what I just said, then we ought to at least do that. Because you don't have to know what you're saying. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. Because that's how heaven works. He takes the foolish things of the wise to confound the wise. He brings to naught the things that are by things that are not. It's not that they're not at all. They're just not here. Right? So let me ask you a question. In Romans 4, when it says that he called Abraham a father of many nations, what language did he use to do that? You say English. Does it tell you what language he used? No. Language is language. Language is seed. Doesn't matter what it is. We're the ones that put that understanding in our thought process, or maybe you just never asked the question. So when it says he calls those things to be not as though they were, that's how heaven works. That's how the kingdom of God functions in line with the natural arena. That's how it works. But it never tells you what language is used to do that. See, we put all this little mental stuff in there to bridge these gaps. He wants you to stop bridging the gaps and start asking him for the answers. Because he's been around from eternity. He knows exactly how everything works. And I believe this, if we'll ask him for that wisdom in whatever field you're in, whatever profession you're in, whatever you do in your life, it doesn't matter what it is, how small you think it is or how large you think it is, he knows exactly how to do things and how to give you answers. I mean, my gosh, right now there are so many things that are being discovered just in the natural arena that came straight out of heaven that you would have never thought some years ago. I heard a story in a book I was reading. It used to be when you had burn victims, they would take, I don't mean to be gross here, but it's how they did it. They would take skin from cadavers after they cleaned the wounds and they would graft that skin on. Guess what? I'm sure they probably do that somewhere, now. I can't say if those days are gone, but new insight and the new wisdom and the new technology is this. They take skin cells from your own body. Some kind of way they turn it into some kind of a solution that they can actually spray on, like painting a car. There was a guy that was burned around a bonfire, and he had to go to the hospital. He had major burns, and they cleaned them all up, and they got skin. They harvested skin cells from his own body. They made it into this solution, put it in this spray gun like what you use to paint a car with, I imagine. They sprayed it on the burns, and in 3 days, his skin was healed, no scars. See, we're the ones that limit what we get from him. Father knows all about this stuff. That's not a big deal to him. He knows greater things than that. We'll into him and let him show us these things. Because he will. That's a long answer. Did I even answer your question? Okay. Anybody else? Understand there's no bad questions, because somebody else might have the same question you got. They just don't want to answer it. That's good. So,
context of the church. When there's a word, tongues, how do you validate? Is there a way to validate that? Is there a way to, someone receives, and if someone gives the answer, how do you validate it? Or is there a way to validate it?
Well, understand this. When it comes to tongues, interpretation of tongues, we make the mistake of thinking that, because of that word, we make the mistake of thinking that what he's saying is literal word-for-word interpretation. And that's not how that works. Like I was saying, when I was pacing, I was just praying out of my spirit, what I was getting was impressions that at some point in there they turned into sentences, but it started out as impressions. So it's not necessarily a word-for-word interpretation. We get tangled up like that because in this natural arena with languages, that's how we function. Not how it is in the realm of the spirit. It's not limited. It's not, word for word. Because I mean, I'm sure you've been in situations where maybe somebody in a corporate setting somebody spoke something out of their spirit and it seemed like it went on for 5 minutes and the interpretation was a minute and a half from there, because the interpretation it's not a word for word, not a transliteration. They're simply speaking. Whether it's coming to them in in context, expressions, this is what was said. Sometimes it will be sentences. It can come a number of different ways, but it's not, it's, you know, as far as us as a congregation validating it, Paul said this, the Spirit of God said this in, I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Go over there real quick. 1 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 5. As soon as I get to it, I'll let you know. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. So he's obviously talking about out of your spirit, because you can't do that with your mind. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances. Verse 21, hold fast to that which is good. So how do we deal with prophetic utterances? That basically tongues and interpretation is the equivalent to that. The only difference is prophetic utterances comes straight over into our English language. There's no speaking out of your spirit first. But they both function the same way. So how do we handle that? Well, the Spirit of God is telling us, look, there's going to be times, and this is where we get in, and there's books and books and books written about Old Testament prophetic versus New Testament prophetic. Old Testament prophetic, the thought process was they spoke exactly what God said. If they didn't, they were dead. That's not necessarily true, but that's the thought process. Well, you can't take that and bring it over to the new covenant, because the new covenant doesn't function that way. So whether it's tongues or interpretation of tongues, or it's just straight to the known language, prophetic, we have to understand that there's a human being involved as the vessel all along the way. And since Paul said you pray to your spirit and then you pray in your understanding, to whatever degree we're developing in our ability to pick up in our understanding, whether it be by impression, you know, big picture, you know, impression. Now, if I had got what Sarah got out of her spirit, I may have painted something different. It would have looked really worse than, you know, stick figure, you know, little dudes with, you know, stick arms. No, it would look, because here it is, and so. That's why we need to learn to develop in knowing where it begins and where it ends, and then when it ends, stop. Yeah, don't add. Because the tendency is you want to add. And a lot of times in prophetic messages, articulations and even tongues interpretation, and maybe you've heard some where it was like all of a sudden it shifted over into somebody was yelling, somebody's, you know, I mean, how many have ever heard a prophetic word where it was God's going to judge America, you know, you're not, you know, you this, and it was all, okay, first and foremost, that completely violates what the Holy Spirit said the prophetic is in 1 Corinthians. It doesn't edify, it doesn't build up, and it's not encouraging, so it's not him. Period. In a discussion, it has to fit in that criteria, it's not him. It's what it is it's somebody who is speaking out of their soul, things are bothering them, and they're trying to plug themselves into an Old Testament prophetic model, which is not today. Does that make sense? So, but the same thing can happen whether it's tongues interpretation, you know, they pick up on the big thing, they give that, but then they haven't developed to recognize where the period was, and they keep going. That's why Paul said here to the church in Thessalonica in Greece, don't despise prophetic utterance, but hold fast to that which is good, because that which is good came from the Spirit of God. Anything else, if it's got human stamp on it, you're going to pick it up. We're going to have folks from the life of this church from now until eternity, until Jesus comes back, we're going to have folks that come in here and they're trying their hardest to learn and develop in these things. And there's going to be part that was Spirit of God and the part that wasn't. Let's just rejoice with the part that was. Hold fast to that which is good, you know. And then he goes on to say in verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you or set you apart entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Again, I want to bring this out again, because I was not raised to understand this verse this way, and I promise you, you probably haven't heard it either. When he's talking about, notice he goes from don't despise prophetic to hold fast to that which is good to don't hold blame. Because the number one, you know, here's how you're going to know if you're walking in your human and not in him. Blame likes to creep up. Well, that was wrong. Well, I can't believe they said that. As soon as you step over any, and in your lifetime, as soon as you step over into any kind of need to blame, Don't con yourself. You're not living by the Spirit of God. You're not living out of your spirit. You're living out of your own head. And if we'll know that, we can sever it and stop it. Because the local church needs to be a safe place where everybody's at all different levels. And if we're all at different levels, it's okay to be all at different levels. We want to create an environment to where, you know, if the only thing you've got is three sentences and that's the only thing you're really sure about, go give that. If you overstep that and you give more, then just understand all we're going to do is hold fast to that which is good and not blame. Can you get on board with that? That's the environment. That's the Spirit of God. That's authentic community. See, all these things we're talking about, you know, you're like, why is that doing? What does that have to do with authentic community? It has everything to do with authentic community. It's all of these things that if we don't understand this is our culture and this is how it's supposed to be in a local church, then all kinds of humanness is going to get in here and just rip it to shreds. And it's all for no teaching. And meanwhile, everybody walks away thinking they were right. And they weren't. So, anyway, I don't know, was there a question involved with that? I just kind of went on. Did I answer that? Yeah. So that's how we receive on the receiving end of tongues, interpretation of tongues, or just any kind of prophetic utterances. We're going to look for that which edifies, builds up, and encourages, because that's the Spirit of God. That's His fingerprint. Anything beyond that, I'm not going to sweat it, because we're not going to go to the blames. We're not going to the blame, because He's trying to get blame out of us. He's telling you, in fact, if you'll pray out of your spirit, he'll get you to the place where you lose the desire to have to blame somebody for something. And He needs us to be free from that, folks. Otherwise, we'll never have a shot at 100% authentic community, because somebody's going to contaminate it with, somebody did me wrong, somebody said something, somebody looked at me wrong, somebody did that, somebody breathed my air. Go ahead.
Well, it goes along with that. How do we, as we're experiencing an authentic community and we're practicing, you know, prophesying out of our words, it seems like we don't get it right all the time. And I've been on the receiving end of a prophetic word that didn't quite feel right, or it felt negative, or telling me what to do type thing, as opposed to encouraging. And so, you know, what is our role if that happens to us, or if we're the one giving a word and it adds to?
I think the best thing to do, and I'm going to make this recommendation. At some point on our website, I'm going to have a page that is nothing. There'll be a page that is every book that I ever recommend you read. Recommended reading. And you know what? And there'll be some there that aren't Jesus books either. But there has to be, in order for us to grow in this area, we have to be willing to allow somebody to show us where we were right on and where we got off a little bit. And you know, the mark of someone who's growing in maturity is you don't wrap yourself around your prophetic word, so if part of it gets corrected, you get offended. Because that's the way we'll grow. So I would say this, you know, if you get a prophetic word, you know, first of all, you thank them for stepping out, because that was one heck of a brave thing to do. You know, you just won half the battle right there. But the next thing is say, you know what, I'll tell you what was encouraging to me is when you said this, that was encouraging me. That really bore witness with me. And on the other part of it, you know, if there's something that's like really way off, you know, you could just simply say, you know what, that other part there, I don't, that doesn't bear witness with me. But I'll certainly take the whole entire thing and I'll pray about it. That way they'll know, you know, the section that didn't bear witness, they probably already know, yeah, I kind of felt like I stepped over into my own soul when I was given that, but I wasn't really sure, but you confirmed it for me, thanks. So that'll help them to recognize the next time this part is, and then they'll get to the place where they'll say this part is, and there won't be anything else, because they've learned how to pinpoint the difference. Is that good? Okay. Anybody else? I know there's more questions here.
Maybe it's already been answered, but if you really can't get a impression or have difficulty discerning one, how do you either get one or, you know, discern if you have one?
Oh, believe me, I can't. Hold on.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, let me see if I understand what you're saying. Are you asking, when you pray out of your spirit, what if you don't get any impressions or get anything that your mind can grab a hold of? How do you get there? Is that what your question is?
Yes.
Just keep praying. Here's the thing. There are things that we'll do in our life as born-again believers, born-from-above believers, offspring of Him, that we do just because that's who we are. We don't do it to get something. Now, granted, all these things surround this, and you have His Word that it validates the fact that this is what the system is. But I would say this. A lot of times we try too hard. You're not going to get anything if your mind is so wrapped around the axle and your emotions are so revved up that you're trying too hard to get something, and you know you couldn't hear your spirit because your mind, your emotions are too involved. So there are things that we do. I mean, I would say this. Look, if you don't get anything, you didn't enter in praying out of your spirit for the sole reason of, I just got to have something right now. You want to be doing it because this is who you are. By nature, this is who you are. So at the least, you can rest in the fact that whatever you're saying, you're calling those things that be not as though they were. There's been situations for me that I just knew I was praying about a certain situation that was staring me in the face. And, well, I'll tell it to you like this. There was a season in my life where I didn't have I had closed my business down, and I was out of the workforce for a year. And I was wrestling with, do I get a job? Do I not get a job? I need some direction here. So I would spend a lot of time praying out of my spirit because I want accurate direction. So I would pray out of my spirit, and first He showed me some things in His Word that I could latch a hold of. They gave me the green light. Yeah, you can. Not only can you, but I'll direct you to where I want you to go. So I acted on the things that I got out of His Word, meaning I went out there and, you know, and I forget, I went to this. Yeah, but I was out of the workforce for a year after I closed it. But anyway, I ended up at a temp agency. I don't even know how I knew about this place. I just walked in the door. It was just one of those impressions. Hey, there's a temp agency, I'll go over there. Because my thought process was, I don't want anything long term. You see how my mind's going here? I don't want anything long term here. Temp agency is the best way to go. So I walk through the door, and who am I looking at? I'm looking at a guy that I went to high school with, his brothers. All of them went to the same high school I went to and my sister went to in Boulder, Colorado. Now you tell me the odds of that. So we get to talking, and long story short, I ended up at, after one short stint of a week long someplace that it was a job, but it was nothing more than that, I ended up at a law firm. Well, that all came about from me praying in tongues and not knowing what the heck I was talking. I was just willing to go with, on a daily basis, go with the impressions I got, and they led me to a certain place. Interesting thing, I just talked to somebody the other day about this, who was in the law firm, and they were saying, man, you've been there for 5 years. I said, yeah. I said, you guys wouldn't even hire me now. because they've changed completely the way they hire, how they bring people in, everything. Even though I can do everything in that place that everybody else can do, they wouldn't bring, they wouldn't hire me now, but the Spirit of God knew the window that I could get in there, and He brought me in when I could get in. But if I hadn't listened, or I hadn't acted on impressions that I got, and that's simply all it was just impressions. You know, at some point we have to believe that He has a good plan for us, and every time you open your mouth and pray out of your spirit, what are you doing? You're declaring that plan, and you can rest in faith, believe with confidence that He's going before you and leveling your mountains and making the crooked places straight. That's how we keep from getting wrapped around the axle about situations. That's why it's the greatest thing to do when you build yourself up upon your most holy faith, coming out of your spirit, because you're keeping yourself in the love of God, and the love of God believes the best of every person, including you. Otherwise, you're going to go around the merry-go-round, well, God must hate me. God doesn't like me. Look at all my mistakes that I've done. Well, then if you're living there, you're living in your own head, and you are your worst enemy. He doesn't think that way. He's your greatest cheerleader. So He gave us a vehicle, praying out of your spirit, declaring things out of your spirit that will bypass your own emotions and short-circuit things and get you, unbeknownst to you, to declare those things that be not as though they were, move you over into a position, a place of living blameless, including you on yourself and towards everyone else, so where you're completely free. And He can go, and the angels of God understand, they understand totally what you're saying. And that thought you might have one morning, let's just ramp it up here. That thought you might have one morning to do this, go here, say that, or whatever, could be an angel of the Lord right next to you speaking into your ear. Because they do that. Does that answer your question? It's just about, let's just make a decision. Let's just do it, because this is our DNA. And don't ever back off of it. And come back to me in 12 months. Come back to me in, 10 years. Show me where you're at, because you'll be in a good place. Amen? Okay, well, I'm assuming there's no more questions. Did you guys get anything out of this? A lot for us to develop in, but it's fantastic. You think it's cool now, wait until we've developed into it, and wait until you get to see firsthand how you impacted the culture out there. Every place you go, it'll get to the place where the Spirit of God, you're so practiced in these things and developed in these things, getting things out of your spirit, that you won't even be able to go to a food court, sit down and eat a hamburger without the Spirit of God saying, hey, psst, but that's when it really gets fun. And I would say, as far as that goes, this, and I'm done here, I'll just close with this. I would say, as far as that goes, just get in the habit of going up to total strangers and just pulling an encouragement out of thin air. If you'll practice at that, you're going to come to the place where one of these days, on the tail end of your encouragement out of thin air that you thought was out of thin air, it moves you over into speaking to them prophetically, and you begin to tell them things that only Father would know about them, and they'll go right where He wants them to. But you got to start someplace, right? If at the worst, this church just got a reputation of being those positive encouragers. Every time I get around one, I always know what church they're from, because they just start encouraging me positive. I just know, you must be from that Best Life church. If that's the worst we ever do, I'm okay with that. Because there ain't nobody else giving them that out there in the world.
Right.
Amen. Well, let's stand. Father, we just love You. We love You. Father, I pray this over this congregation, that their love will abound still more and more into revelation, knowledge, and discernment, so that they'll approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless, seeing that you've filled them with the fruit of righteousness which comes from your Son. May we develop as a people that the love of God is not just something that we mentally assent to, but it's something that we actually learn, have developed into, and let it take us into the arena of seeing what it sees and hearing what it hears. That our discernment of the right now kingdom in every moment is clear to us. And I'll just say this, there'll come a point in time, if we'll give ourselves to these things, there'll come a point in time when that seat next to you will not be empty. There are thousands upon 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 thousands of people in all of the cities that are joined together in this region that are starving to hear what Father thinks about them. And the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us, Father, that you've given us, I thank you that you develop us to that place of being willing to give people, if it's nothing else, starting off as encouragement, that you'll take us from that place of it just being encouragement to a full-fledged prophetic word from the kingdom of God, from the Spirit of God, from the tongue of Father. And we thank you, Lord, that that will not return void. It will not be fruitless. And we thank you for the impact that we'll have, that you're going before us. You're leading us into these areas. You're going before us and leveling all of our mountains. You have buildings, you have structures, you have facilities that are designed to be filled up with people that are so hungry for you because they heard what you said about them. So we thank you, Lord, that not only do you bring us into these things prophetically, but you bring us into these facilities and these structures that are already out there that have our name on them, and they have since they were built. We understand that they're nothing more than tools. We understand that they're nothing more than tools of efficiency to help us accomplish and facilitate the growing of the masses. So we say to you right now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we are all in. We do not want to hold back. We do not want to be reserved or guarded in these areas. We want to develop in these areas, and I know that I speak for everybody in this room. We want to develop in the areas of being one spirit with you, and we just thank you that we will go where that takes us. We will step into wherever that causes us to step, and we thank you, Lord, that our future is so huge and so bright because we were willing to take a step and then take another one and then develop another one. And then developing another one. To the place where one day we'll be standing in a room that's full of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that are all knit together in one spirit because we all have the same culture. And I love how the Passion Translation reads, the Spirit of God caused this church to be joined together in one choreography. As one choreographed culture. I speak to all of those that might still be saying, well, I just don't know how, I just don't know how, I just don't know how, I just don't know how. And I tell you, you might as well just you need to throw down your standards because it's way too high. Let God be true and let every man be a liar, including the one that's speaking inside your head. You are his son, you are his daughter, you hear his voice, you get his impressions. And your steps are ordered of him. So we just thank you for all the good reports, Father, and we thank you that we make a commitment. We're going to walk in this. We're not walking in this because we're going to try it. We're walking in this because you made us this way. This is who we are. This is who man has always been from before eternity past. Man has always been designed to live right here. And you have massive harvest of people, not only in this city, but in the entire world, in this nation, in the entire world, that are going to flood in and learn how to develop in this place of the presence of God being married and joined to the presence of man and learn how to interact between the two. And so we thank you about that, Father. We thank you that you're speeding up time and you're bringing these things to pass quickly. Because the harvest already belongs to you, and so do we. And all those that agree with that prayer said, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, it's going to be the most fun journey. And you're going to say at some point in your life, what else is the purpose of living? This is too much fun. Well, go have an awesome week and practice, practice, practice.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.